Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin. Dear Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you bless our study this morning, that you send the Holy Spirit to work on each of our hearts, and your angels to be with us. And let us hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. The plan of salvation is not merely a set of scribbled instructions that is fed into a heavenly computer that affects the salvation of a fallen race. The plan of salvation also is not merely the death of an immortal being. It is much greater. It is a set of exquisite plans that work methodically and systematically for the removal of sin from the universe. Completely. That plan of salvation has three very specific entities or parts which make it actually work. I call them the three A's of salvation. First of all, it must have an author. Every plan of salvation, for if there were to exist one, must have an author, for if there was not, there would not be any plan of salvation to talk about in the first place. It would be meaningless for you to say that you were saved if there was no author of salvation. Secondly, every plan of salvation that would exist would have to have a second A, and that is an agent. Because whereas a plan of salvation can be authored, in order for it to actually work, it must go from an idea to a reality. Something theoretical to something actual. There is a gap that has to be bridged from sin to no sin. When we fell, a huge chasm was introduced. Man fell from his lofty position, and now it must be restored. There is a huge gap that has to be reclaimed by an agent. At that point, it almost works, yet there is one last part that really is needed to make it work, and that is ambassadors. Because the plan of salvation must be taken not only from a reality, but into the whole world. Because if it did not go into the whole world, Satan would have such a claim against God in the judgment. When he says, see, you withheld something from their possible salvation. You must be withholding something of your system of government. So we see there are three particular things that make it work. It must have an author, it must have an agent, and it must have ambassadors. Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, we're going to be studying verses 16 through 21. John chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Perhaps the most famous passage of scripture ever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now notice that we already have an author. For who sent his son into the world? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Ultimately, it points back not to the son, but to God. God ultimately devised a plan for the salvation of humanity. For that gap to be bridged. It was an author. And also we have an agent, by the way. For God sent his son into the world. Into the world, that gap was bridged. Now, by the way, sin, the concept of sin also tells us who this is. If there were an explanation for sin, of how it came into existence, we would not have pardon me, we'd have an excuse for sin. But there is no way to understand exactly how sin came into existence. But we do have a definition for sin. 1 John 3:4 says, sin is the transgression of the law. And that law would be God's law. Sin is a transgression of God's law. And further, it would not make any sense for anybody subject to God's law to have any say in what happens to the transgressors of that law. For instance, let's say I'm driving down Anderson Street past Loma University at 85 miles per hour. Now, the speed limit there is 35 miles per hour. And I get pulled over, and I'm given a ticket. Now, it would not make any sense for me to say to the officer, no, actually, I have the authority to free myself. Also, it would not make any sense for an innocent person, such as the passenger sitting in the seat next to me, to say, no, actually, I have the authority to free him. The only person that has authority to free somebody in subject to somebody's law is the author of the law himself. God himself only has the power to save people from sin. No one else. Because it's his law that has been transgressed. Back to John chapter 3. You might want to keep your finger in there. We're going to be going back to it a lot. Starting verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Notice for a second something in verse 19 there. And this is the condemnation. It's made very clear here why somebody is condemned or not condemned. It is that light has come into the world. The agent has brought the light from God into the world. And the condemnation comes and we reject it. Interestingly, the condemnation does not come because you're born. It does not say that this is the condemnation that you were born. It says this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Whereas there was darkness, there was the opportunity of no condemnation. Light is come into the world. The same thing is talked about in Romans chapter 5. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 17. The Bible says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now notice how closely this parallels with John 3. There is a free gift that comes upon all men, verse 18 of Romans 5. And yet in John 3, light is come into the world. There's a free gift that comes upon all men, and light comes into the world, and men are condemned depending on what they do with that light. Also in Romans 5, in verse 17, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And in verse 18 of John 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Strong parallel between the light and the free gift. The free gift comes to all men into the world. The light comes to all men in the world. And if you accept that free gift, you have life. If you accept the light, you are not condemned. God does not use force. It would not make sense for it not to be a free gift. In other words, God would not say, I force you to be saved. Or, I force you to be lost. No, neither. Because God is love, he gives everyone the choice. the option, the free gift of salvation. Light is come into the world, and if you accept the light, you are not condemned. What is this light? Let's turn just a couple of chapters back in John. John chapter 1. We're going to be skipping through John chapter 1 a bit. John chapter 1, starting at verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Notice it lights every man that cometh into the world. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. What was the role of Jesus Christ? He was the agent of salvation. He brought light from the Father, the free gift, into the world. God in Himself is light. And He came and brought that light into the world that all might have the possibility of salvation, that free gift of no condemnation. Light, as revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, is a free gift of salvation. Jesus Christ is the agent. Now, what about an ambassador? Just simply, the atonement of Jesus Christ is not enough to make everything work. For if it was, you would all be saved, and a whole world would be saved without question. There's something more. There is the choice involved in picking out whether or not you are going to accept that light. It's a choice that has to come across every person in the world, and there's only one way to make that happen, and that is to take the news throughout the world. There must be ambassadors. Back to John chapter 3. First, we're going to discover what happens if we reject that light, and then we'll discover what happens if we do not reject that light. John chapter 3, verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Notice why they reject the light. They do not want their deeds to be reproved. They know that if they came to the light, they would feel guilty. But they forget that whether or not they come to the light, they're still guilty. And further, the only way they become not guilty is to come to the light. But the Holy Spirit's been working on these people because they know what their situation is. They know that if they came to the light, their deeds would be reproved. And yet they choose not to come to the light. And yet notice, again, that they're condemned because they chose not to come to the light. I want to look at that just for a second, a little bit more. John 15. John chapter 15, verse 22. The Bible says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. If it were possible for the race to exist and yet Jesus to have not come into the world, and therefore the world would have been kept in darkness, there would be no sin. That's what the Bible says in John 15. But the fact is, the light has come into the world. So what we're seeing here is that we are held accountable for what we know. Jesus makes it clear that when we come to the knowledge of the truth, we must choose whether or not we are actually going to accept the truth. And that is the basis for our acceptance or not acceptance of God. Every sin of ignorance has provision in the atonement of Christ Jesus. Yet, that does not mean that every sin of willful ignorance is provisioned in the atonement of Christ. There's a big difference between ignorance and willful ignorance. Let's say that I know that if something comes to my knowledge, I'll be held responsible. And then I say, no, I will just make sure that I don't learn that thing. That doesn't make sense. That is willful ignorance. Yet Christ came to take away all excuse for sin. When the final accounts are determined, all will have had opportunity. You will have had opportunity. There's a quote that was said by Winston Churchill once, and that is, men will occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of the time they pick themselves up and keep going as if nothing had ever happened. Because of Jesus Christ, occasionally we stumble over the truth and we're forced to make a decision. Either we stay down in submission to Christ and change, or we pick ourselves up and keep going. So what happens if we stay down and change? Take a look at John 3:21. John chapter 3, verse 21, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." The Holy Spirit is working here, for the deeds are wrought in God. They realize what God is showing them. They realize the eternal weight of their decisions, and they realize that they must surrender their life to Christ. Jesus makes an absolutely incredible statement in a couple of places. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus says, I am the light of the world, but whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but walk in the light that Christ brings into the world. Now go to Matthew chapter 5. Absolutely incredible. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And yet in Matthew 5, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Light shines into our soul, lights up our soul, and then what happens? It shines back out of our soul. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, but you are also the light of the world because I am the light of the world. That means you. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is an awesome calling. It's vastly different than staying dark and just nothing happening to you. you actually get lit up and the world is lighted by your glory. Let's take a look at this a bit further. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Just as God at the beginning, when it was dark on the earth, said, let there be light. So when God comes to your heart, he says, let there be light, and there is light. Just as he commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. What is glory? Do you remember when Moses asked God to show him his glory? What did God do? Did he show them an awesome light show? No. He said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering, etc., etc. He showed him his character. God's glory is his character. And so when the light shines into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, what happens? The light of God's glory, the light of God's character shines into our hearts. We are changed. We become lights to the world. We are never, ever, ever the same again. 1 John chapter 1. Starting in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from how much sin? All sin. Absolutely all sin. The light shines in our hearts, gives us the glory, the character of God, shines back out of us. All sin is cleansed from us. Our potential is absolutely incredibly vast. We can actually be changed from what we used to be into the likeness of Jesus Christ. A good example of how this actually works can be found in Isaiah 58. What happens when this light shines out of our hearts? Starting in verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. It is our privilege, if we let the light of God shine through our life, to be a tendril of light that shines out into thick darkness of the earth, to push away the tide of evil, and to show that God's light is absolutely, incredibly beautiful. It is our privilege, if we accept that light, to show that light to the world as the light of the gospel. Not the light of any gospel, but the light of the true gospel. Not a gospel that simply says, you're forgiven and you just have to await translation. Not a gospel that says, you're forgiven and then perhaps you possibly should live a good life. But it's actually not part of the gospel. No, a gospel that actually comes into you, changes you, forgives all your sin, changes you to be righteous like Christ was righteous, and to live that life that Christ lived, and that ultimately makes you like Jesus was. To be an absolutely beautiful, shining light, beacon of light, to a dark and dying planet. That is our privilege. I think this is most beautifully illustrated in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 will start in verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to see. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they shall come from Sheba. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of thy glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud, and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish shall come first. To bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. Is Christ shining in your heart right now? Is he shining into your heart and changing you, forgiving all your sin, and shining out? Let's pray. Maybe there's someone here this morning who realizes that the light has not yet shined in their heart. Or possibly that the light has dimmed. Maybe there's someone who wants to say, yes, Father, please shine into my heart and forgive me, change me, and make me a light to the world. As our heads are bowed, if that someone is here, I would encourage you to stand. To stand right where you are and say, I will shine for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for the gift, the free gift of life that you give us without cost. All we have to do is believe on the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and our sins will be washed away and forgiven, thrown to the bottom of the sea, so that they will never be remembered. But not only that, you have promised to make us a light to the world, shining forth the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, to light the earth up with your presence. Father, thank you for that awesome blessing And please send your Holy Spirit to be with us the rest of this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross.